So no, this isn't Rick Fabian. He called me on Friday and said, guess what? I've got COVID. And he only has a light cough. He did actually stop by the river and handed me a sermon. So I've never done this before, not to preach someone else's sermon, but certainly not a sermon from a mentor, friend, former boss, and someone who has shaped the life of the Episcopal Church. Rick was one of the early pioneers of what we call radical welcome. Thank you, Stephanie, for spinning that even faster for our own day at the 10 o'clock hour. And also the open table, one of the pioneers of saying Jesus welcomes everyone. Jesus ate with all the wrong people. That sign led to his death and taught us what the kingdom of God was. So with that preamble, these are Rick's thoughts. I was going to say not my own, but I hope they are my own by now. And let's listen in on one more disciple's way of inviting us all to that open table and that radical welcome. The great mystic poet Teresa of Avila is the first woman in the modern Roman Catholic Vatican who was declared a doctor of the church. Her 16th century campaign reforming the Carmelite monastic order was opposed by her church hierarchy, and they summoned the Spanish Inquisition to arrest her. One day, while she was traveling with her loyal nuns, while the Inquisition soldiers were mere miles behind them, her wagon overturned in a ditch. And she's reported to have said as she raised her eyes heavenward, Señor, si así tratas a tus amigos, por supuesto son pocos. Lord, if this is how you treat your friends, no wonder they are so few. Our New Testament Gospels were written like articles in the New York Times. Throughout my student days, Times articles had no bylines. Then the Times changed policy, and every article showed who had written it, and we were surprised to see typical articles report a committee conversation, two or even four reporters together. Our Gospels are like that. Jesus' parables give us the best source of his own sayings, if partly edited, but the Gospel stories about him were written wholly by committees, years after his death, like New York Times articles. Some of their voices differ from his, and committees rarely agree as one, but one remarkable feature shared by all is how women appear in the Gospels. Almost to a man, Jesus' male disciples are blockheads. They get just about everything wrong. Meanwhile, the women emerge as Jesus' best pupils. Our Gospels are so consistent there that we can only suspect those evangelist committees caught the gender squint from the great teacher himself. In Jesus' own parables, women often break proper customs, going after what they know they want, despite what others expect of them. In John's gospel story today, when Jesus visits Martha and Mary's house, Mary bathes Jesus' feet with perfume and dries them with her hair, thereby dismaying another disciple. Luke's gospel tells a different story about the same two sisters, but in much the same style. While Jesus is teaching there, Martha asks Jesus to tell Mary to quit listening and come help her do the proper hostess duties. And Jesus replies, Martha, you are rightly busy, but Mary has chosen the best slice of cake, which will not be taken from her. Some later preachers interpreted Luke's story to mean that God values Mary's meditative life choice more than Martha's active choice, but Luke's committee report actually teaches a different lesson here, echoed from Jesus' own parables. be quick and aggressive in welcoming God's reign, no matter what the cost. Luke reports that Jesus honors Mary's aggression, seizing the slice she wants most. Her seizing it may be unfair, but unfairness will not deny her her prize. So to you and me, these reporters say, seize God's reign, no matter what people think. Jesus' own supper table filled up notoriously with folks of mixed moral character, like some of your fellow worshipers right here at St. Paul's on the Green. And those folks eagerly welcomed his message and his company, while the more proper, pious people hung back. Jesus seems to have liked aggressive companions. Eventually, that mixed table fellowship led to his death. John's gospel says that's how Jesus laid down his life for his friends. 15 centuries later, Teresa of Avila, a bold and aggressive reforming woman, knew well how risky God's friendship could be. Today, John's Gospel Writing Committee tells a story about the same Mary bathing Jesus' feet with fragrant nard, while Judas complains that she honors him the wrong way. She ought to have sold her expensive perfume and given money to the poor. Disciples may typically expect their teacher to outline top standards for ongoing community life, but here, a blockheaded male disciple has missed the deeper truth that Mary has got right. So just as in Luke's gospel story, Jesus sidesteps the commonplace social duty, and he instead says Mary is preparing him for burial. This woman perceives already what Jesus is up to and where God's friendship will lead him until he lays his life down. Both Luke and John's stories set striking examples for us to reflect on in Lent as we approach Good Friday and Easter soon, an opportunity to catch Jesus's real point, which we can witness in Christian service all around us. This woman, Mary, knows what matters most for Jesus and for herself and for us, too. One modern American aggressor in gospel style was Helen Keller. Deaf and blind from infancy, as most Americans know, she learned to speak through the ministry of her friend Annie Sullivan. Perhaps not everyone knows, however, that Keller spent her life afterward campaigning for social justice. A suffragette and a founding member of the American Civil Liberties Union, she authored 14 books telling her story and her Christian faith. Even though her grandfather was a slaveholding Confederate general, Helen Keller wrote in her autobiography that there is no king who has not had a slave among his ancestors, and no slave who has not had a king among his. Keller joined the American Socialist Party in 1909 and stoutly supported the NAACP all her life long. In 1933, when Nazi youth burned her book, How I Became a Socialist, she wrote an open letter to the student body of Germany condemning censorship and prejudice. Clear focus, you can visit Helen Keller's grave at the Episcopal Church's National Cathedral, where her funeral took place. The clear focus of John's gospel story today is not which class of work or even which moral standard honors God most nobly. The story writing committee has focused on costs. The perfume is costly, and at least one blockheaded disciple thinks of how to use this cost better. But the woman, Mary, knows Jesus' own costs, because she can foresee the bill coming, the bill he will pay for teaching them how God acts with human beings. God does not calculate the costs before acting. And all active human service has costs, as you must already recognize from reflecting on your own life. Every human parent learns that much. You could say that Helen Keller paid the costs from her infancy, when it was meningitis that blinded and deafened her. And Teresa of Avila paid the costs throughout a reformer's career campaign serving her church and ours. This year, as Good Friday and Easter approach, let you and me choose how we will serve those around us and in God's world while we live from today onward. And let us serve aggressively, whatever the cost, as Jesus himself did, and many of his best pupils did. Those women who our Gospels say welcomed him and followed him. Amen.